By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Musaleen. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وصحبك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وصحبك يا نور الله Viewers of Madani Channel, welcome to the morning show, Rise and Shine. It's a beautiful day here, and I pray that it's a beautiful day wherever you are, and I pray that we have a beautiful day. But remember to make sure that you read your namaz today, make sure that you do your oral today, and make sure you fulfill the rights that are upon you today as well. And in mind of that, we have a very interesting topic. But before we begin, as you know, we always give you a blessing of reciting Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A companion has said that if I give up all my orad and wazaif and devote all of my time to reciting salat upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, will this be beneficial for me? And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that this will be sufficient to you to remove your worries and your sins will be forgiven. So if you do no orad, if you don't do any orad, and you just do the orad of sending Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then inshallah azawajal, this will be sufficient for you and you will get your sins removed. And we said it before, viewers of the channel, please make a habit, make it part of your routine, a daily routine. Set aside a time, be it, I know people, I remember I met one person and he traveled 1.5 hours to work and 1.5 hours back. And during that time when he was on the motorway, he did all of his orad and he sent so much Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Just imagine how much Durood-e Pak you could recite whilst you're just traveling to work and back. And try it one day and you'll see that you've recited quite a lot. So please make a habit of reciting Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And like we said before, who knows that one extra Durood-e Pak that we recite today may make all the difference on the day of judgment. As you know, viewers of the channel, that after listening to a blessing of reciting Durood-e Pak, we have the privilege and honor to listen to some verses of the Holy Quran. Let's go and listen to some verses of the Holy Quran. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
Main Allah ta'ala ki panah mein aata hoon shaitan-e-mardood se.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Allah ke naam se shuru jo nihayat meherban rehm wala.
وَمَن يَكْفُرْ بِالْإِيمَانِ فَقَدْ حَبِطَ عَمَلُهُ وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ.
اور جو مسلمان سے کافر ہو اس کا کیا دھرا سب اکارت یعنی ضائع گیا اور وہ آخرت میں زیاں کار یعنی نقصان اٹھانے والا ہے.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا إذا قمتم إلى الصلاة فاغسلوا وجوهكم وأيديكم إلى المرافق وامسحوا برؤوسكم وأرجلكم إلى الكعبين.
اے ایمان والو، جب نماز کو کھڑے ہونا چاہو تو اپنے منہ دھو اور کہنیوں تک ہاتھ اور سروں کا مسح کرو اور گٹوں تک پاؤں دھو.
وَإِن كُنتُم جُنُبًا فَطَّهُرُوا.
اگر تمہیں نہانے کی حاجت ہو تو خوب سترے ہو لو.
وَإِن كُنتُم مَرْضَىٰ أَوْ عَلَىٰ سَفَرٍ أَوْ جَاءَ أَحَدٌ مِّنكُم مِّنَ الْغَائِطِ أَوْ جَاءَ أَحَدٌ مِّنكُم مِّنَ الْغَائِطِ أَوْ لَامَسْتُمُ النِّسَاءَ فَلَمْ تَجِدُوا مَاءً فَتَيَمَّمُوا صَعِيدًا طَيِّبًا فَامْسَحُوا بِوُجُوهِكُمْ وَأَيْدِيكُمْ مِنْهُ.
اور اگر تم بیمار ہو یا سفر میں ہو یا تم میں کوئی قضائے حاجت سے آیا یا تم نے عورتوں سے صحبت کی اور ان صورتوں میں پانی نہ پایا تو پاک مٹی سے تیمم کرو تو اپنے منہ اور ہاتھوں کا اس سے مسح کرو۔
ما يريد الله ليجعل عليكم من حرج ولكن يريد ليطهركم وليتم نعمته عليكم لعلكم تشكرون۔
اللہ نہیں چاہتا کہ تم پر کچھ تنگی رکھے، ہاں یہ چاہتا ہے کہ تمہیں خوب ستھرا کر دے اور اپنی نعمت تم پر پوری کر دے کہ کہیں تم احسان مانو۔
صدق اللہ
العظیم۔ صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم۔ Viewers of the channel, you just had the privilege, the honor to listen to some verses of the Holy Quran. We listened there in the translation that was from Kanzul Iman. And I've said it before, I'm going to continue to say this, viewers of the channel, that please make sure you have a copy of Kanzul Iman in your household. It's now available in the English format, but please make sure you have this in your household. Not just have it in your household. You know, people have books in their households and they're used as decoration pieces. You know, I went to a scholar's house. A scholar had passed away, and he passed away 3 or 4 years ago, and all his books were still there. You know, all his books were still there. And he had the Quran there, and he had tafsirs of the Quran there, but they'd not been touched. You know, so our books in our house, our religious books in our houses, should not just be decoration pieces. And especially the Quran should not just be a decoration piece. And unfortunately in our houses, that the Quran is something that's wrapped up in a beautiful cloth. You know, it's wrapped up in silk, beautiful cloth. We may put it inside a beautiful box. We may put it on the top of the shelf in a beautiful, respectful place. But the respect of the Quran is not wrapping it up in a beautiful cloth. The respect of the Quran is not putting it in a beautiful box. If you want to truly respect the Quran, then you need to read the Quran. Read the Quran on a daily basis. Understand the Quran. Implement the Quran in your lives. So read the Quran, read the translation, read the commentary, because this is the manual for life. You know, the Quran is our manual for life. And if we don't understand the instruction book and how to live our life, then how can we live our lives? So please make a habit of reading the Quran. And better still, as we've said before, that if you can sit down as a family every single day, read at least 3 ayats of the Quran with translation and commentary, read it to each other so that everybody can benefit from it as well. So please make an intention that we're going to read the Quran on a daily basis as a family, 3 ayats at least with translation and commentary, and also act upon what we have learned, inshallah, azza wa jalla. Viewers of the channel, you're watching Rise and Shine. And as you know, every morning after we have the privilege of listening to the Quran, which gives us that spiritual uplift, I believe. It gives us that spiritual uplift so that whatever problems we have during the day, whatever problems we are going to face, it gives us that spiritual strength to face all of the difficulties as the day. And we top it up a little bit now by listening to the Kalam of the day as well. So let's listen to the Kalam of the day, inshallah, azza wa jalla. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Arsh haq hai, masnad rifat rasulullah ki, dekhni hai hashr mein izzat rasulullah ki, حشر میں دیکھنی ہے، حشر میں ہاں دیکھنی ہے، حشر میں عزت رسول اللہ کی۔ لاور رب عرش جس کو جو ملا رسول اللہ کی، بٹتی ہے کونین میں نعمت رسول اللہ کی، خیرات
دیتا ہے خدا ہر وقت تیرے نام کی، جس کو ملا جو کچھ ملا جتنا ملا صدقہ تیرا بٹتی ہے کونین میں نعمت رسول اللہ کی۔ رسول اللہ کی ہے خلیل اللہ کو حاجت رسول اللہ کی، دیکھنی ہے حشر میں عزت رسول اللہ کی۔
اور ہم بھی کاری خدا ان سے فضول، ہم بیکاری وہ کریم ان کا خدا ان سے فضول،
اور نہ کہنا نہیں عادت رسول اللہ کی، اور نہ کہنا نہیں عادت رسول اللہ کی، دیکھنی ہے حشر میں عزت رسول اللہ کی۔ حشر کو کھل جائے گی طاقت رسول اللہ کی، حشر کو کھل جائے گی طاقت رسول اللہ کی،
اور اے رضا خود صاحب
ممکن ہے پھر مدحت رسول اللہ کی، مجھ سے کب ممکن ہے پھر مدحت رسول اللہ کی، تجھ سے کب ممکن ہے پھر مدحت رسول اللہ کی، عرش حق ہے مسند رفعت رسول اللہ کی، دیکھنی ہے حشر میں دیکھنی ہے حشر میں عزت رسول اللہ کی۔
صلوا علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم۔ ماشاءاللہ، I hope you enjoyed it as much as we did here in the studio. ماشاءاللہ، beautiful. And again, a nice way to start the day. And we mentioned it before that, you know, if you have these kalams in your car when you're driving in the car and you can listen to them, you know, basically, viewers of my channel, we keep on saying this, but don't waste any time. Don't waste any time that when we're traveling, when we're waiting for something to happen, recite through the park, listen to the Quran, listen to the kalam. You know, make a benefit of that time. Don't waste that time. Because there is one thing that once it's gone, you can't get back, and that is that time. It's gone. And once it's gone, it's gone. And life is so short, viewers of the channel. Life is so short. Before we know it, you know, we're going to be at that phase in our life where, you know, a lot of us, we're lying on our deathbed and we're waiting for the angel of death to come to us. And before we even know it, we're going to be in that dark and lonely grave. So this time that we have got is so valuable. We need to make sure that we utilize it properly. In light of that, viewers of the channel, today we're going to talk about the fact that, you know, when people do get ill, and when people get from the illness to the time that they pass away and they die, that what should we be doing as Muslims, what should we be doing? And there's certain things that as Muslims that Islam has taught us about when someone is ill, even if he's ill and it doesn't look like it's a critical illness, but even if he's ill, what should we be doing? If it's a critical illness, what should we be doing? What should we be doing at the time of death? What should we be doing when a person passes away? And all of these things, Islam has taught us this. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has lived his life as a perfect example of how we need to live our lives. But unfortunately, viewers of Muslim, we're bereft of that knowledge. We don't know about these things. We're not aware of these things. And certain things, you may even do certain things. And if you did them with the knowledge and the intention that this is a sunnah of the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then not only will you fulfill the action, but inshallah, azza wajalla, you'll be rewarded by the fact that you're fulfilling a sunnah of the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's narrated, viewers of Muslim, that a certain companion, Sayyidina Talha bin Bara, radiallahu ta'ala, he fell ill. And the beloved Rasul, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, came to inquire about him. And it was a really cold night, a cold winter night, and the sky was cloudy. And as he was about to go back, he said to the family members of Sayyidina Talha, radiallahu ta'ala, that I think these are the last moments of his life. Inform me so that I can lead his funeral salah. Be quick to prepare him for his burial. As the beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam reached an area called Bani Salim, he passed away. And Sayyidina Talha radiallahu ta'ala made a will to his family members as the night began. He said to them, when I die, bury me. And do not call the beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I fear that non-Muslims might cause trouble to the beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam because of me. His family members did the same. In the morning, when the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was informed about this, he went to his blessed grave, and blessed companions made a row, and then the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam raised his blessed hands and he made dua. The O Allah, may Talha meet you in the state that he is smiling. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. From this view of the channel, we see nowadays we have cars, nowadays we have modes of transport. Nowadays it's easy for us to go to the hospital and visit people at home or in the hospital or wherever they are. But we can see from this that it was a cold night. It was a cold night, it was a cloudy night, and the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to inquire about his beloved companions. And when he passed away, he also went to his grave and made dua for forgiveness for him. He didn't say to himself that, look, you know, he instructed his family members that, look, when he passes away, call upon me. But because this companion had said that I didn't want to trouble the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, do not call upon him and bury me quickly. When the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was informed about this, he didn't get angry. He didn't say, well, I told him to call. Why didn't you call me? Forget this, I'm not going to go now. No. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to the grave. He understood. He went to the grave and he did dua for them there. Now, viewers of the channel, nowadays, this unfortunately is a sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that is probably we're failing at. We're failing at in the sense that we're not fulfilling this sunnah. You know, when someone is ill, why do we go and visit them? If we visit them. We go and visit them because if we don't visit them, then, you know, what will the family say? And if he's part of our family, then, oh, what will the rest of the family say if I don't visit him? And if he's a rich, influential person, then, oh, we need to visit him because he's a rich, influential person. He's an MP. He's a rich person. He's a barrister. He's a lawyer. Whatever he is, I need to go and visit him because of this reason. We don't go and visit him purely for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And if we look at all of our acts that we do nowadays, viewers of the channel, every single thing that we do, be it visiting the sick, be it whatever we do it purely for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla? And there's a reward in it. Because it is sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We'll hear about the rewards a little bit later on. But there is great reward in this. But unfortunately, nowadays, we don't. We don't do this. And if we do it, yeah, if we do go and visit someone that is sick, then what do? We put it on social media. This is our location. I'm at such and such hospital visiting such and such. And we tell the world about it, that I'm here. You know, I visited him. And then we'll take a picture with us and the ill person that's there. You know, I'm next to his bed. Look, he's okay. He's okay. And we put these pictures on social media of these people, yeah? And we'll put that, oh, I'm just parking the car in the hospital car park. I'm just going to this person. Why are we doing this? Why are we doing this? You know, although we're talking about, you know, visiting the sick and what should happen at the time of death, but generally, views on the channel, as our lives become so weak that we have to advertise everything that we do, we are so lonely in our lives that we have to advertise that we do and show off. You know, this sin of ostentation, views on the channel, that when you perform a good deed and you do it to show off, then you've lost the reward of the good deed. But unfortunately, nowadays we do that, be it we're going visiting a sick person, be it that we're, you know, making a masjid or a madrasa, or be it that we're going on umrah, be it that we're going to somewhere around the world. We let everybody know that we're making this journey. Why? Why are you telling people that I'm going on umrah now? I'm in front of the blessed Rosa Rasul now. I'm in front of the... I remember there was one brother, and he would go on the umrah. He wouldn't tell anybody, but then he would phone me when he was there. He would phone me when he's there, and he said, brother, I'm in front of the Rosa Rasul now. If you want to recite Salatu Salam upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you are reciting it, and think to yourself that your voice is here right in front of the Rosa Rasul. And I appreciated that, because he didn't tell anybody, he didn't tell the world, he just went there, did his bit, but then he, for my sake, I believe, for the happiness of my heart, putting pleasure into my heart, he would ring me up and he would say I was there. But nowadays, is that what we're doing? And nowadays we see that, you know, the people of the past, for example, that when two people used to quarrel with each other, then what used to happen is in the past, we used to try and break up these quarrels. We used to try and speak to each person and say, no, he's a good person. Don't worry about it. He normally speaks good about you, but today, I don't know, maybe he's a little bit angry, but he's a good person. And same to the other person. And we would talk like this. But nowadays what we do, instead of that, instead of trying to diffuse the argument, diffuse the quarrel, we infuse it. We put more, you know, they say more fuel onto the flames. You know, the flames are already there. We put more fuel on. Yeah, you're right. This is what he was saying about. Yeah, you are right. He says that about you all the time, not just today. He's always been saying that about you. Yeah, he hates you deep down. You know, he wants to do anything to cause problems to you. He doesn't like you. And this is what we'll do. Yeah, and then what happens is, you know, when nowadays, when an accident happens, when an accident happens and someone's hurt, rather than, you know, getting the person out of the vehicle, if there's a car accident, for argument's sake, or a multiple accident, rather than picking him up, rather than getting them out of the car, getting him in another car, or getting in an ambulance, or getting into the hospital as soon as possible, what are we doing? We're recording it. We're not helping that person in one iota. We're not doing any help for that person. We record it, put it on social media, and you see, you know, it saddens me to see these videos, and you see them on social media where people have had an accident, and nobody's there helping the person. That person's dying. At least sit next to him and console him. Recite the Kalma Sharif next to him. Comfort him. Put his head in your lap and at least stroke him and make him feel comfortable in this time of pain. But instead of that, videos. And then we're proudly put on social media, oh, he died whilst I was making this video. Come on, is this what we've become? Is this what we've become rather than comforting our brothers? You know, we put it on social media that he died whilst I was making this video, and we're happy that we get so many likes and we think it's a fantastic video to share. This is not a video to share. You see these videos of car accidents, all these pictures of car accidents, and they say, oh, you know, they'll show pictures of the dead bodies and three people passed away in this accident, and they share it on social media. What are you doing? Do these people not have family members? Are they not going to see this? Do you not think it will upset them? For the sake of a few likes on social media, how many people have you upset? And rather than comforting these people, rather than helping these people, rather than trying to do something from these people, what are we doing? We're either making videos on social media, or what we'll do is we'll go up to them and we'll go through their pockets, yeah, get the mobile phone out, get the cash out, and steal all of these things. This is also what happens. And isn't this sad? That our society has got to that stage now. Rather than helping someone, we'll steal for them when they are dying. Rather than helping someone, we want to get more likes on social media. Is that what we've become? Is that how low that we become? That we're not willing to help anybody whatsoever? That we're not able to care for anybody whatsoever? You know, a person's had an accident, you know? He needs your help, he needs your support. I remember I was in a country and we were driving and I saw this mobile ambulance stop, and basically they took out the stretcher and put it on the floor. And this person, I later found out it was a woman, had passed away, and the family were all there. And nobody stopped to console the family. Yeah? Even though there was a sheet over the body, nobody stopped and give the person a hug and say, you know, beta, you know, I know, you know, because there's nothing you can do at that time. There's nothing that you can do but console the person. You know, at least give them a hug, make them feel that's what they need at that time. People need that at that time. People need consoling. People need it. And when I got out of the car and met the person, he never knew me. But I grabbed hold of him and hugged him, and he was crying on my shoulders. He didn't know me, but just think, if rather than me, an unknown person, right, whose shoulders he was crying on, just think if it was a family member that was there, of a relative that was there, a close friend that was there, that was doing this for them, how much better he would feel. But unfortunately, we're not even doing that nowadays. We don't do that. And we make, I don't know, we make all sorts of excuses. And then when we do go to the funeral, or we do go to the hospital to visit them, we're not going there purely for the pleasure of Allah. We're going there so that, oh, it's a tick in the box. Yeah, that, oh, they saw me there. In the same way that when a person passes away, what happens is, you go to the namaz janazah, and you want people to see you. Yeah? You want people to see you. They say that when it comes to a normal namaz, the 5 daily namaz, the greatest reward is in the first saf. But when it comes to the namaz janazah, it is better to be at the back. But no, the namaz, a normal namaz, you turn up late. Normal namaz, you're right at the back. At the Jummah Salah, you're right at the back. But when it comes to namaz janazah, you want to be right at the front. Why? So that people will see you. People will read that, oh, yeah, he came. He was there. He was there. And then what happens is, as they're visiting, everybody's looking at the body for the last time. Yeah, you make sure that you're standing in a prominent position so everybody will see you. And then you get people to take pictures of you. You know, this is even where it goes, social media. They're getting pictures of you, you know, so the body's there and you're putting the hand on the coffin of the body and you're there and you've got tears rolling down your eyes and there's a camera there, you've got somebody to take a picture of you. Come on. Is this what we've been come viewers of Mother Channel? Is this how low that we have come? Islam, viewers of Mother Channel, has commanded us to inquire about after the patient in order to comfort them, in order to console them. Islam has taught us manners, viewers of Mother Channel. Visiting a patient to inquire after him does not lessen his suffering, but it surely gives him a bit of comfort. You know, the pain that that person is feeling at that time, if he is ill, if he's just had an operation, whatever pain and suffering that he's going through at that time, it comforts them. I remember a personal incident I want to share with you, viewers of Mother Channel. My father, he was quite ill. And the incident that I'm going to mention to you, literally 2 weeks after that, he passed away. And he was in pain, and I was there. I was with my father, and he had a bit of a shoulder pain and headache, and I was pressing his head, but he was so agitated and irritated, and he just, because of the pain, he just wasn't comfortable. And then 4 of his nephews came. Well, actually, 4 of his grandchildren came. And they came and sat there in front of him. And my father said to him, you know, beta, I'm sorry. You know, I'm not in the mood to talk now. So please forgive me if I don't talk to you. And they said, it's okay, Babaji, it's okay, no problem. And they sat there talking amongst each other. But what they did is they started talking about Pakistan, and they started talking about the villages over there. They started talking about, because they'd just come back from there. They started talking about all the people that I'd met there. And my father, just by listening to this, he perked up and he started listening to what they were saying. And he was listening, and then he started butting. He said, no, you're wrong. It wasn't that person. It's this person. And within 5 minutes, I realized that because my father's attention was diverted, he wasn't feeling the same. He was feeling better. The pain was obviously still there. Obviously, the illness is still there. He's still there, but his attention was diverted by these 4 young lads that came here, talked to my father, you know, started to distract his attention, got him part of the conversation. And within 10, 15 minutes, he was part of the conversation. They were talking to each other, discussing things. And even then, after about half an hour, my father said that, beta, you know what, you've woken me up again. You've recharged my batteries again. So when you go and visit the sick, you know, again, at that time, you know, this is the pain is not less for them. But the great reward is there in that it gives them some comfort. It gives them some pleasure. But unfortunately, viewers of Mother Channel, we don't do that. We don't go and visit the sick. We don't go and want to inquire about them unless it's a tick in the box outside. And then when we go and visit them, we ask them such useless questions. Inshallah, we'll mention that a little bit later on. We ask them such useless questions that have got no relevance to them, that are not going to cause them any betterment. So when you go there, this is the adab of visiting people. You know, go there, inquire about the ill, give them the comfort about the illness. And this is a sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it's also a view of the channel. Something I mentioned a few times, well, quite a few times on the channel, that there's a Madri Namad card, a self-rectification card. There's an app that you can download this on. And all this is basically the days, it's a self-analysis card. On a daily basis, you look at, you say to yourself, what have I done today? What should have I done today? What could have I done today? And one of those things is visiting a sick person. And Madri Namad, number 53, states, during this week, have you consoled, as per sunnah, at least one sick or grief-stricken person after visiting him in his home and at the hospital? Further, have you presented him a gift, even if it's a booklet or a pamphlet published by Maktabat al-Madina, as well as advise him to get the Tavizat al-Athariya? So when you go there, give them a gift. This is a sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Go there and inquire about them. And inshallah, azza wa jalla, this great word. Inshallah, we're going to take a small break in our viewers on the channel. We're going to have the reminder of the day. But when we come back from the reminder of the day, we're going to give you some of the blessings of actually visiting the sick. Because maybe, viewers on the channel, we think that we have to visit the sick because it's a tick in the box. And if I don't, what will they say? If I don't, they will be upset. But there are great reward in it. But again, having the right intentions, fulfilling these intentions, and inshallah, the reward is there. Let's go to the reminder of the day. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Once a wealthy man, he went to a village and he met with this farmer who wasn't really that much educated. And the wealthy businessman, he said to the farmer that, I would like to do business with you. And the farmer, he says that, what kind of a business? And the wealthy man, he says that, I've got a proposal for you. I will invest all the money, but I want you to be working in the fields. Whatever crops you want to have, that will be fine by me. So they sat down and they had a condition. And the wealthy man, because he was clever and he thought that he's doing a slive and a trick on him, either he did a cunning trick on that farmer. And he says to the farmer that the condition is, whatever is below the earth belongs to you. Whatever is above the earth, it belongs to me. So the wealthy businessman, he had this agreement. He gave the money to the farmer who bought some seeds and he started to sow them seeds. And when the crop was about to come out, the wealthy businessman, he went back to that same village. He met up with the farmer and he says to the farmer that, what crops have you put down this time? And the farmer, he says, I sowed onions. Now, onions, when they grow into the soil. So the agreement was done that whatever is below the soil, it belongs to the farmer. Whatever is above the soil, that belongs to the wealthy businessman. So the wealthy businessman, when he saw that the farmer had sown seeds of onions, he was shocked. So he said to the farmer that, I'd like to do business with you again. Now this time, whatever is below the earth, it belongs to me. Whatever is above the earth, it belongs to you. So the farmer agreed. And this time, he put some seeds of sugar cane. Now sugar cane, it grows on top of the earth. Yani it grows upwards, not downwards into the soil. So the farmer, after a few months, came back to see how the crop was doing. And he met up with the farmer. And he says to him, that what have you sown this time? And the farmer says that, I put in sugar cane. Now again, the wealthy businessman was struck by this, that this farmer has done it to me twice. Now can you see that he is trying to con and, you know, trying to put out the farmer into a difficulty. He's trying to put the farmer into the difficulty. But what happens all the time? It's he himself who gets into difficulty. So when he sees that the crop is above the earth, so obviously that share will go to the farmer. In the ground, there is nothing. So the farmer, he is quite happy that he's got his cultivation. And he says to the wealthy businessman, or the wealthy businessman says to the farmer that, I want to do a business with you last time. I've lost out twice. Now I want to do a business with you again. This time, whatever is below the ground will be mine, whatever is above the ground will be mine, in the middle, that will be yours. And the farmer, he says, okay, no problem. So he started to sow some seeds. And this time, the farmer, what did he do? He put some grain inside. Now what happens? Grain, you have the bottom part and you have the top part. The middle part is where the grain is. Again, when the crop was produced, the crafty wealthy man, the crafty wealthy businessman happily reached the field in the hope that this time only he would benefit. But after reaching the field, he was shocked to see that the farmer had grown maize whose upper and lower parts are valueless and the middle part has the real worth. Therefore, the wisdom of the farmer defeated the craftiness of the wealthy man. My dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madani channel, our beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has said that whatever you think good for yourself, always think good for someone else. It depends on a person whether they use this thinking, this blessing that Allah ta'ala has given them. You know, for someone to be clever, that is a blessing. Are you going to use this blessing for the pleasure of Allah azza wa jal and benefit yourself and make other people benefit? Or are you going to use your brain or your clever thinking for the benefit of yourself and to put other people into problem? Inshallah azza wa jal, from this story, we remember and we are reminded that always think good about other people as well.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. MashaAllah. Some mother pearls there from Hafiz Rafaqat Atari. Viewers of Madani channel, those amongst you who watch the program regularly will notice something different today. Yes, it's our studio. We've got a different studio today, a different setup today, and I hope that you have liked this. I think it's a bit brighter. I think it's a bit better. We've got new tables as well, new background as well, and I'm hoping you like this, inshallah. If you've got any views or comments, then please send them in. Viewers of Madani channel, today we're talking about the sunnah of visiting people when they're ill. Inshallah, later on we'll talk about the things that we need to do when someone is close to the time of death as well. With regards to visiting someone that when they are ill, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that a proclaimer says to the person who inquires after a patient or goes to meet his Islamic brother for the pleasure of Allah azza wa jal by addressing him, be happy because this walk of yours is blessed and you have made your abode in paradise. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. In another hadith, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah azza wa jal will grant a shadow through 75,000 angels on the one who inquires after a patient, and the one virtue will be written for each step he lifts, and for placing each step, one sin of his will be removed, and one rank will be elevated. When he sits beside the patient, mercy will cover him, and mercy will continue to cover him until he returns to his home. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. This is the reward of visiting someone that is sick. You know, fulfilling the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Like I said, nowadays it is easy. And we heard the incident with the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the cold of the night, in the dark night, the cold, cloudy night, he still went and visited his blessed companions when they were ill. Nowadays, how hard is it? You know, we complain when we go to the hospital that we have to walk a long way to get to the ward. But think to yourself that that long walk that you are making from your car to your ward, one is nothing in comparison to the walks that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made. But also, for each step that you take, inshallah azza wa jal, you'll be rewarded. And we notice from here, we heard from this, that 75,000 angels make a shadow of mercy on those who inquire after the patient. And the sins of the one who inquires after a patient are forgiven upon his every step. Divine mercy is showered upon the one who inquires after the patient. Hence, whenever you go to inquire after a patient, adopt extremely affectionate tone with cheerfulness to ask about his health and make dua for his recovery. The other thing, viewers of the channel, is that you need to make sure that you do dua though for that person. And don't trouble that person. Don't ask that person unnecessary questions, because what happens is when we're there, we ask him unnecessary questions and he gets worried by that. Do dua for that person. Do dua for that person that inshallah, don't worry, you'll be okay, you'll recover from this illness. You know, and what happens is sometimes, that's really bad. You know what? I know someone that had this same illness and he passed away. He only lasted 2 days. That's not comforting the person. That's not comforting the person at all. Yeah. And then you start, do dua for that person. And the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is to comfort them, to do dua for them and say to them, don't worry, inshaAllah azawajal, everything will be all okay. No harm will come to you, inshaAllah azawajal, you'll be okay. Now even if he is not to recover from that, at least you put a little bit of comfort inside him, you give him a little bit of strength inside him, rather than saying, oh, no. Oof, I've never seen anybody this ill. I've never seen anybody this bad. Oof, you look bad, mate, you look bad. That again is not good. And then what we also do is, we go there and we ask unnecessary questions. So how did this happen? Why did this happen? What were you eating? What caused this? And he's probably answered that question a million times, yeah? He's answered that question a million times. That how he got this illness, what happened to him, what were the ailments for this, what were this? And you know, all sorts of things. These are useless questions. And then what happens is because we're asking these questions to this person, look, this person is on the bed, he's ill. He's in the hospital, he's ill. He's there for a reason, he's there because he's ill. So, are you okay? Are you okay? Yeah? He's there for a reason. So you might put him in a position where you might lie. Yeah, I'm okay, I'm fine, don't worry, everything's okay. Yeah, I'm 100%, I'm there, I'm okay, I'm perfect, don't worry about it. Don't ask unnecessary questions, he's there because he's ill. Understand that. And then what also happens is unfortunately, and again, you know, it happens with a lot of people that we become self-made doctors. Yeah. That even though we know nothing about medicine, then all of a sudden we'll say to the person, you know what, you need to take this medicine. You know what, you need to do this. You know what, you need to do that. Go home, mix this, put this, do that, add this, etc. And we've got no reference whatsoever. If we can say, yes, I read it in this book. Yeah. And like there are certain books that are written by Maktabat al-Madina, by Amir al-Sunnah, in which he gives some cures for certain diseases, some household cures that you can have certain things where you mix certain things with certain things and drink them. If you have that knowledge, if you have them references, then that's all well and good. However, what happens is, oh, you know what? I remember years ago, my auntie said to me that if you do this, this will happen. If, oh, my uncle said this, that this happened. I remember doing this, I remember doing that. Again, you know, you don't become self-made doctors, yeah? Comfort the patient. Comfort the patient there. And the other thing what happens is, we also see this views on the channel, that people hear, and I mentioned it early on, that for the time that you are there, the duration that you are there, then mercy is depending upon you, yeah? Mercy is depending on, so people think, you know what? I'm going to sit here for an hour. Because mercy is depending on me. Mercy is descending on me. I'm getting the reward, so I'm going to sit here for an hour. And they'll sit there for ages and for ages and for ages. For two reasons. Number one, either they become aware of the fact that mercy is descending upon them and they're thinking to themselves that, look, it is better for me to stay here. Or secondly, they feel that they have to. Yeah? They feel that that is something that they've got to do. So what happens is, there might be, I don't know, four or five people there that have come to visit someone. Yeah, and so you come in, you're the fifth person, and they're all sat there. And you think to yourself, okay, I can't leave before these four now. Because it's not good for me to leave before these four. So, okay, then what happens is a few minutes later, one of them gets up and leaves. And he says, okay. And then someone might come and you say, well, I can leave before him because he came later than me. And you wait for these people to leave. Now, some of these people that are there, maybe family members, they're not going to leave. But what happens? You stay there. And they say, there's a saying, overstaying your stay. You end up overstaying your stay. Don't stay there excessively. Because again, that can cause problems for the patient. The patient might want to get some rest, the patient might want to get, or alternatively, you know, the room's starting to fill up, and you think to yourself, I can't leave until then people have left because they came before me. If you feel that the situation is there, then leave. Stay there for a short time. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, the best way of inquiring after someone is to get up soon. Get up soon. Does the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam not know the blessings of staying there? Yes, he does. But he says that the best way is to get up soon. So whenever you go to a patient, treat him well. Speak such things which encourage him and give hope and divine mercy upon him. Tell the patient the virtues of being patient. Tell him to, be sabr. I know that you're not well, but mashallah, you know, show patience for your brother. Inshallah, you'll be rewarded for your patience. Inshallah, Azawajal will get better. You know, be thankful. Talk to him about be thankful in a state of illness that, you know, this illness, inshallah, azawajal, it remove all your diseases. Inshallah, azawajal, be patient upon any trials that give to you. This is a blessing for you. And encourage him. encourage him and then also call him to the path of righteousness. Make him make good intention. View, brother, inshallah, you know you're going to get better, inshallah. Don't worry, everything's going to be all right. And when you get better, inshallah, you're going to travel on a Madani Kafla with me, aren't you? Inshallah, yeah? Okay, yeah? Okay, brilliant. Yeah, we'll travel on a Madani Kafla together. We'll go here. We're going to travel on Madani Kafla there. We'll go to the weekly Ishtima together, yeah? Mashallah. Make him make good intentions. He will be rewarded for them good intentions. But comfort him. Don't worry him. You know, and don't look at his illness. And even if you know, you know, even, I remember taking a patient to someone and I took them in the car, and the place that I went to was literally his work partner. They used to work together many, many years ago. It was basically a teacher and a student, yeah? And the teacher had got very, very ill, and I took him to his student, and the teacher had such an illness that he was going to pass away. He had cancer and he was maybe going to last, I don't know, not very long. And I took him to his student. And, you know, when we went there, the student didn't realize that his teacher was ill. And he said to his teacher, you know, uncle, come and sit down here, I'll make you a cup of tea and this and that. And as he went out to make a cup of tea, I went and said to him, you know, your teacher is ill. He's got this illness. And straight away, his face dropped and he got upset. But what he did is he went into the washroom. Yeah. He had his little cry there. He got upset there, washed his face, cleaned his face, came out. And then he came, uncle, how are you, uncle? Everything all right, uncle? Yeah, come on, uncle, here, have this cup of tea. And then, because they were both mechanics, he started discussing with his uncle. Uncle, I've got this problem with the car. I don't understand how to do it. Please advise me. And so he was, you know, in this moment that the teacher felt useful now, that he's been learning, that the student's still teaching, that he still wants to be learnt of him. So what did that do? That comforted the teacher. Rather than coming and saying, oh, uncle, I've just been told that you've got this illness. Oof, uncle, I don't know what's going to happen to you, uncle. Oh, uncle, I don't know. He came out very positive. He met him. He welcomed him and started asking him questions. Again, distracting him, giving him comfort, making him feel that he's there. And that's what we need to do. And this is again a sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And again, teaching people to show patience at that time. And again, this is a lesson for all of us viewers, and that when we are in that state. Because there's one side, there's two sides of the story, isn't there? There's one side of the story where the person is ill, and we are going to see him. But there's the other side, that we are ill as well. And how should we be when we are ill as well? The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that whoever faces a trouble in his wealth or his health, and he conceals it and did not disclose it to people, it is upon the mercy of Allah azza wa jal to forgive him. Showing patience, yeah? And basically covering up your problems and just living a normal life. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that whatever trouble a Muslim faces due to illness, worry, sadness, torture and grief, even if a thorn pricks him, Allah Azza wa Jal makes the trouble an atonement, a kafara, for that person's sins. So whatever problem you face in this dunya of yours, just think to yourself that every problem that you're facing, and as we're told here, illness, worry, sadness, torture, grief, even if a thorn pricks you, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, even if you're facing the difficulty of a thorn pricking your finger, Allah Azza wa Jal makes this trouble an atonement for you, a kafara for that person's sins. And that is again the mindset that we need to develop, viewers on the channel. That whatever happens to us, be patient. Be patient and show shukr in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. And there are many, many ways that you can do this. One, think about the reward of showing patience. And secondly, think to yourself, look, I've got this illness. You know, I've got a stomach pain. I've got a bad stomach pain. Yeah? And it's really grieving me. But there are people that have bags outside their stomach, and the urine and the bad feces of inside the stomach are having to be deposited in that bag, and they're having to walk around that with a bag all their lives. I'm fortunate. Yes, I've got a bit of stomach pain, but this will pass. You know, a couple of days ago, I had a toothache. You know, on the toothache, and I was there grabbing my tooth. And I thought to myself, look, you know, I should be glad that I've got teeth to have a toothache. You know, people don't have teeth, yeah? So these are all blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal, but it's having that positive mindset. And this is what our deen teaches us, to have a positive mindset about things. Look for the good in everything. Look for the good in people. Look for the good in your life. Look for the good in all sorts of things. In the same way, viewers of Malaysia, that even when your homes, you know, you have a problem, you have a quarrel with someone in your home, you have a quarrel with your spouse, there's something with your wife or something that with your husband that you don't like, then try and put that to one side and think about the good things. Think about the good things in your spouse. Think about the good things in your husband. Think about the good things in your wife. And hopefully that'll get you through this. But if you're just negative, looking at all the negatives in life, look at the he's got this fault inside him, he's got this fault inside him, he's got this fault. And what good has he got? He's got no good in him. That's not possible. Everybody has some good inside them. And so whatever situation you are facing, viewers of the channel, think positive. Think positive and think to yourself that this is a test. This is a test. Where does this test come from? From Allah Azza wa Jalla. Right? So what should I do? I should show patience in this. Yes, I should find a solution. I should look for a solution. I should struggle and strive for a solution. But I should put my trust in Allah Azza wa Jalla, that Allah Azza wa Jalla will enable me to find that solution. Put your trust in Allah Azza wa Jalla, and if it is destined for you to find that solution, you will find it. But you will find it through putting your trust in Allah Azza wa Jalla, which you will be rewarded for. Now you may find that anywhere, whether you put your trust or not, but by putting your trust in Allah Azza wa Jalla, you'll be rewarded for it. And if you do not find the solution, and the problem gets worse, then again, show patience and you'll be rewarded for that as well. So when you are ill, show patience. Yes, go to the doctors. And if the doctor prescribes you some medicine, and you take that medicine, and you get better, then do shukr in the court of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Be thankful to Allah Azza wa Jalla that Allah Azza wa Jalla has enabled you to be cured. Again, we don't do that as well, that when we are cured, we don't thank Allah Azza wa Jalla, that Ya Allah, thank you that I am cured. And then if, for example, the tablets that the doctor has given, it's a 7-day course, it's a 1-month course, during that 1 month you get worse, and you have to go back to the doctor again, then again think to yourself that this is another test. This is a test upon the test. And now I need to show more patience because Allah Azza wa Jalla has restored me with this bigger test. And this is now my test that I need to show patience. So it's developing that mindset, viewers on the channel, of showing patience in the face of any travesty, any problem that we face. You know, you're driving along the road, you have a puncture. It's raining. It's raining. You have to get at the car. You know, you have to get the jack and you're putting the jack under the car. Rain's coming down on you, yeah. And you're having to change the tire and you think, oh, why? Why today? Why today of all times? Why now? Just think to yourself, think positive. Ya Allah, you sent this to me. Maybe, Ya Allah, you saved me. Maybe there was going to be an accident 2 miles down the road and you would have been involved in that accident. But Allah Azza wa Jalla sent you that puncture on that tire, so you're stopped here. Think positive about things. And if we have this positive mindset about everything in our lives, then we'll have a better life. A life of tranquility, a life of peace, not only in our own hearts and minds, but in our households, in our community as well. Viewers of the channel, we're just going to go to the hadith of the day, inshallah, azza wa jal. And when we come back, we're going to continue talking about this topic. But let's go to the hadith of the day and see what we can learn today. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
It is mentioned in Tirmizi, our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has said, أَكْمَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِيمَانًا أَحْسَنُهُمْ خُلُقًا وَخِيَارُكُمْ خِيَارُكُمْ لِنِسَائِهِمْ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The most complete in terms of faith are those who have the best character. And خِيَارُكُمْ, the best among you, are those who are the best with their women, meaning their wives. So for us, it's a lesson that if we want to be the best in terms of iman, in terms of faith, then we have to adopt good character. Our character, our nature, our behavior should reflect the fact that we have adopted good character and learned from the prophetic way. And another reflection of being good or being among the best is that we are good with the women of our household, or in this respect, the wife. So if a husband is bad to his wife, or does not treat her well in any way, or does not fulfill her right, he cannot be from those who are considered the best among the people. There may be people who are apparently very religious. They have a religious outlook, religious appearance. They seem very good outside, but when they come home, they are completely different people. And it's a lesson for them especially, and for many others generally. Men must learn that true character or good character is seen or reflected outside of the home and within the home as well.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Viewers of Madinah Channel, you're watching the early morning show, Rise and Shine. And mashallah, we just had a little clip there of Qamar Madani, mashallah, one of our graduates from Jamiatul Madinah. talking about a perfect believer. And again, this is the knowledge that we need to have of how we can develop this iman inside ourselves so that we can become true believers. And today, viewers of the channel, we're talking about illness to death. Basically, what should we do when a person is ill? How we should go and inquire about that person? What should we do as an ill person? And later on in the program, inshallah, we're going to talk about that time when a person comes close to his death. And alhamdulillah, we've got a guest with us online all the way from South Africa, Amiruddin Bhai, who I believe, I have been told that he wasn't feeling well himself. May Allah Azza wa Jal, but alhamdulillah, I just inquired about him, that his health has completely restored him. May Allah Azza wa Jal keep him healthy so that he can continue to do the work of the deen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you, Khalid Bhai?
Alhamdulillah, la kulli hal. How are you now, Amiruddin Bhai? Like I said, I heard you weren't feeling well.
No, I had a slight cold and alhamdulillah, rested and I'm okay now. Alhamdulillah.
May Allah Azza wa Jal keep you healthy. Amiruddin Bhai, like I said, we're talking about from illness to death, basically, that a person is ill. And we've talked about the fact that a person goes and visits someone that is ill and what they should be doing when they go there, what intentions they should make, what rewards they can get, and how we should do that, not go and ask unnecessary questions. And we've just touched a little bit on the fact that, you know, what about when we are ill? What should we be doing? And I think, inshallah, if you can give us some madani pearls about, you know, what should we be doing that if illness comes to us, if we are inflicted by illness, and it happens to us at some point in our life, we are going to get ill, be it a small cold or be it a severe fever, something is going to happen to us. You know, the majority, very, very few people are never ill during their life. So at some point in the life, we are going to be ill. How should we be at that moment in time?
Okay, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyid al-Mursaleen amma ba'd wa a'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Okay, one, how do we comfort ourselves? First of all, when illness comes, we should remember the test that Allah Azza wa Jal put on Hazrat Ayyub alayhi salam. And Hazrat Ayyub alayhi salam, as we know, bore this with patience, despite the fact it's mentioned once he was very, very wealthy, he had lots of wealth, he had livestock, he had slaves and many children, alhamdulillah. Then Almighty Allah tested him. And one by one, he started removing all these that he possessed until he was just left alone with his wife, which his wife was very obedient to him and took also with him all the time. But he always was patient. He never ever complained. Even when his wife asked him, why don't you make dua to Allah? He said, no, Almighty Allah has blessed me so much, but I will just have sabr. And he had sabr all the time. And eventually we know that because of his patience, again, it so happened that even every part of his body, he had illness, and he became so, at one stage, where it is affecting his heart and tongue. And even then, he didn't complain. He said, Ya Allah, the illness is preventing my heart from worshipping you and my tongue from mentioning your name. Ya Allah, I cannot live without your worshipping and mentioning your name. I'm asking for your mercy. That's the only time he made dua. And Almighty Allah obviously gave him the means of cure, and he got cured. What do we learn from this? He was the Prophet of Allah, Azza wa Jal, and he is like an example of sabr. And it means that when Almighty Allah loves somebody, and he has done this to most of the prophets of Allah were tested. Because when you have any ailment where you cannot bear it, then Almighty Allah, if you have patience, sabr, Almighty Allah, he gives you blessing for having patience. So look at this. Almighty Allah is mentioned by one scholar, a very beautiful thing. Those who are afflicted by illness should think about this. One is Almighty Allah, for a person who is like way out from the fold of Islam, doing all the wrong things and doing things that causes the wrath of Almighty Allah. And then when you find that happens, you find that person is so engrossed and being tricked by shaitan that he doesn't even think about Allah until he's afflicted. Again, this is the mercy of Almighty Allah. So you'll go to the person, say you went to visit him, like you say you went to visit the sick people. And this person went to different countries to get cure because he's very rich. But eventually he finds he doesn't get cure. So when you go to visit him, what do you tell you? He says, now I leave myself in the hands of Allah. First time he now resigns to the fact that now nobody can help him but Allah. So can you see, from being totally unconscious, about the existence of Allah. Now his mouth is saying, I leave myself in the hands of Allah. And I recall when I was a young person, there was one person in the place that we stayed who you shouldn't even see in the masjid for Jum'ah. He used to be doing this kind of gambling with the racehorses, and he was famous for that. One day I was in the masjid and I see him in the masjid as well. I was surprised. Then someone told me, no, this person had a massive heart attack and Almighty Allah gave him another chance and now he's in the masjid. Alhamdulillah, as you can see, from being a person who was totally away from Almighty Allah, look what happened to him. He suddenly, because of this mercy of Allah, Almighty Allah gave him tawfiq and guidance, he came towards Allah. This means take this as a reminder from Almighty Allah that when you have illnesses, that Almighty Allah is actually showing you a favor. So instead of being impatient, you make shukr to Allah. Now then you have people who are not so, that means they sin and they make tawbah, so like, and they're afflicted with all kind of problems. And they themselves, when they're afflicted, they may reflect, you know what, I'm not punctual with my namaz, maybe this is why Almighty Allah is punishing me. And you find they will also now make tawbah, for Allah give them obviously direction and guidance and hidayah, and they turn towards Allah again. Then you get a third lot of people who are very pious, and they also get afflicted. But look at the mercy of Almighty Allah here. For those who are pious, Almighty Allah does not want them to be punished even a little bit. So and they know that if they have sabr, Almighty Allah will remove all the sins that they have, as many as possible, so that they don't have to be punished. So again, Almighty Allah shows favors to his close people. Now, this is something for us to understand, that sometimes what happens, we don't realize that it is from Almighty Allah. And now just coming back to Hazrat Ayyub alayhi salam. Now, just to give you, we heard about why we get sick. This is very important. This from the Holy Quran, where it said Hazrat Ayyub alayhi salam was a very generous and merciful person. He used to help the poor people, guests, orphans, etc. Because when he was rich, he should take care of them and solve the problems. And he was famous for his patience and endurance. Now, when he said, he's mentioned that sickness that he had, he suffered for 18 years. Imagine 18 years and never complained at one, even once. And as you mentioned, even when his wife asked him, why didn't you ask Allah to remove this problem for you? He said, I lived in the welfare of Allah for 80 years. He said, the period of hardship and trouble has not been that long by any means. He said, I feel ashamed to ask Allah for something like that. Then there's another narration where when misfortune hit him, this is what he said, Ya Allah, you gave it and you will take it back. That means he said, whatever is from Allah will be taken away from Allah. But he never complained. And mentioned again then, when Ayyub alayhi salam, when this trouble and misfortune came to him, and when he showed patience, this is for us to show us that whenever we have any kind of affliction, whether it is sickness, loss of wealth, it is from Allah Azza wa Jalla, and in many cases, it is me get close to Almighty Allah. So instead of complaining, go to the reason. But nothing happens but with the will of Allah. And if we show this patience and this trust in Allah, tawakkal in Allah, and this is where shaitan will come and make us feel impatient and complain. Like just the last point I want to give you is mentioned that, assuming you had a headache and you couldn't sleep the whole night, and next day you go to a friend of yours and you ask, how was your day? How was your night? Instead of complaining and saying, no, I had a headache and this and that, because your hamzat and shaitan is waiting for you to complain and lose the reward. All you say is, and Amir al-Sunnah mentions this all the time, all you say, Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. I praise Allah under all conditions, because everything is from Allah, and when Allah desires, He'll take it back. So don't complain. This is a favor from Allah. Allah is giving this as a means for bringing you closer to Him. So why do you complain and lose the opportunity? So may Almighty Allah give us tawfiq to understand that Almighty Allah is always merciful, especially on the believers. So when He tests you, never complain. Always have sabr. And may Allah reward us from having understanding of the reasons why Almighty Allah afflicts us with any kind of ailment. Ameen bi jahin nabil ameen. Sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
Jazakallah Amir al-Dibyan. May Allah Azza wa Jalla reward you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
MashaAllah. Viewers of Madhichan, that was Amiruddin Bhai, MashaAllah, all the way from South Africa. May Allah Azza wa Jalla reward him for the time that he has given. And like we heard, he had a little bit of illness, but Alhamdulillah, he has fully recovered now. And he's now here with us, giving us time. And he mentioned the patience of that when you are ill, that you need to show patience. When you are ill, don't, you know, you don't have to tell the whole world that you are ill. Yes, you need to go and tell the doctor. Go and tell the doctor, because obviously, inshallah, through the medication that he will give you, inshallah, become a wasila for you to be, inshallah, to be cured. So please, you know, have this patience. Inshallah, after the break, we're going to take a small break now. And after the break, we're going to continue talking about this topic. So please stay tuned, inshallah, azajal, and we'll continue with this topic. Let's go to the kalam. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Madina.
کی جنت کہا کرتے ہیں اہل حق جسے عشاق کی جنت کہا کرتے ہیں اہل حق وہ ہے صحرا تیرا اے رہنے والے سبز گنبد کے
مدینے میں
جانب سے خطاؤں پر خطائیں ہیں گناہگاروں کی جانب سے خطاؤں پر خطائیں ہیں مگر تجھ سے عطا اے رہنے والے سبز گنبد کے
مدینے میں بلائے سبز گنبد کے بدوں کو بھی نبھائے رہنے والے سبز گنبد کے
فرشتوں کا جھکا سر سوئے آدم کس کے باعث ہے فرشتوں کا جھکا سر سوئے آدم کس کے باعث ہے تیرا ہی نور تھا اے رہنے والے سبز گنبد کے
مدینے میں بلائے رہنے والے سبز گنبد کے بدوں کو بھی نبھائے رہنے والے سبز گنبد کے
گھٹا چاروں طرف سے کفر کی اسلام پر چھائی گھٹا چاروں طرف سے کفر کی اسلام پر چھائی نظر فرما ذرا اے رہنے والے سبز گنبد کے
مدینے میں بلائے سبز گنبد کے بدوں کو بھی نبھائے رہنے والے سبز گنبد کے
وہ روزہ جس پاس پہ ہے جبریل بھی سو جان سے قربا وہ روزہ جس پہ ہے جبریل بھی سو جان سے قربا ان آنکھوں سے دکھائے رہنے والے سبز گنبد کے
مدینے میں
واصف پھر جمیل قادری کیوں کر خدا ہے تیرا واصف پھر جمیل قادری کیوں کر کرے تیری ثنا اے رہنے والے سبز گنبد کے
مدینے میں بلائے سبز گنبد کے بدوں کو بھی نبھائے رہنے والے سبز گنبد کے سبز گنبد کے سبز گنبد کے
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. Viewers of Madri channel, you're watching Rise and Shine. Today, viewers of Madri channel, we're talking about illness and about as we get close to that time where people pass away as well. And we had Amiruddin Bhai on us as a guest, mashallah. He was talking to us about having patience, showing patience in any travesty. Whenever you have a problem, we should need to show patience. And we need to develop this mindset that when an illness comes to us, yes, it is a difficult time. Yes, it is a time where we are going to face pain. But if we face it with patience, then inshallah Azza wa Jalla will be rewarded it. And the great thinker of the Ummat, Mufti Ahmad Arkhan Naimi Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, stated, he said that a common cold is not a disease, but rather it is a cure for mental diseases. It prevents many other diseases. The one who suffers from a cold does not go mad or insane. The one who has ever suffered from an itch does never suffer from leprosy. And there are many divine pearls of wisdom behind cold and itching. So again, that certain times, sometimes certain things happen to us. And like we said, we were talking about it yesterday, that whenever something happens to you, we should have this mindset that, you know, what is happening to me is for my betterment. It is the best thing that's happening to me. What is happening to me? Allah knows best what is happening to me. And when something happens to you, if you have this mindset that what is happening to me now is better for me, then inshallah, you'll be able to face them difficulties a lot easier and you'll be rewarded as well. Same with coughs, colds, whatever illnesses you have, inshallah, whatever is going to happen to you is better for you. Talking about the advantages, yes, advantages of illnesses. Yes, there are advantages of illnesses, viewers of Madri channel. Mufti Jalaluddin Amjadi Rahmatullahi Ta'ala stated, an illness apparently causes a trouble or a pain, but in fact, it is a great blessing that provides a true Muslim with a great deal of eternal relief and comfort. The apparent illness is a very effective cure for spiritual diseases on the condition that a person should be a Muslim and remain patient and thankful in the face of even the most dangerous diseases. If he wails and does not have patience, he will not get any real benefit from the illness, i.e. he would be deprived of the reward. So again, show patience. And the other thing, viewers of the channel, the hikmat in our scholars mentioning this is that, you know, when you are ill, hopefully at that time, no matter how strong you've been, no matter how physically fit you've been, now that you're ill, you're on a bed. And if you have this mindset and you think to yourself that, look, I'm nothing really. You know, one little bacteria that I cannot even see under a microscope, so small, has done this to me. Yeah, I've got this illness, I've got this infection, and such a small infection has affected me that I'm in this state now. What am I? I'm nothing. And then you start to reflect on yourself and start to think to yourself that, look, when I was healthy, when I was capable, what was I doing? When I was healthy, I didn't read my namaz. When I was healthy, I didn't fast. Now I wish, you know, I wish I could be healthy. And you start to think to yourself, and hopefully if you use that time and positively reflect and think about your life, use that time as a time where, you know, it's literally a downtime, isn't it? That you're out of the rat race of life. You're lying in the bed, you're recovering, you're having time to think. Yes, you're in pain, but think to yourself and reflect to yourself that, look, I'm nothing really. Here's me thinking I'm it. Here's me thinking I'm something. But in essence, I'm nothing. You know, some small bacteria that I cannot even see has done this to me. Yeah. I've got a toothache. And this toothache has put me in my bed. I've got 32 teeth, and one of these teeth has caused this much trouble to me that I cannot function properly. Yeah. I've got an eyeache, and because of my eyeache or a headache, I can't function properly. I just think to yourself that, you know, that human being is so fragile and so weak. And yet, when we have that strength that Allah Azza wa Jalla has given us, what do we do with it? Do we use that strength in the right means, that health in the right means, or do we waste it? And we've heard that hadith before where the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tells us about five things. You'll be questioned about five before five. And one of them is about your health before you get ill. What did you do whilst you were healthy? What did you do whilst you were young? What did you do with your money? What did you do with your time? What did you do with your life? So when it comes to your health, what did you do with it? Because inevitably, as we get older, we're going to get weaker. As people get older, they don't get stronger. Yes, from the age of, from a child being born until the age of in his 20s and his 30s, yes, maybe he's getting stronger and stronger and stronger, but as soon as he gets into his 30s, mid-30s, then the curve starts to flatten and the curve starts to go down. And as people start to reach 40, 50, they're getting weaker and weaker and weaker. And the things that you can do in the peak of your health, the peak of your strength, what did you do? Did you travel in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla? Did you sacrifice your time when you could do it? Did you work hard for the deen, or did you just work hard for the pound sign and the dollar sign? What did you do at that time? And as that time goes, it doesn't come back. That youth doesn't come back. That health doesn't come back. That strength doesn't come back. That time doesn't come back. Your life does not come back. So each portion of our life, we need to say to ourselves, what have I achieved in this? And your achievements, again, what will your achievements be? I built this house. You know, when I was in my 20s, I got married and I got a house. When I was in my 30s, I developed a business. When I was in 40s, I had a mansion. When I was in 50s, I did this. Again, are them your achievements? Are them your worldwide achievements? If you as a minister think and reflect of what we are doing and where we are going. We're going to take a small break now, inshallah. And after the break, we're going to come back and we're going to continue to talk about this topic. So please stay tuned. Let's go to the small break. Sallu alal Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Ala Hadrat radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says, آسمان خواہ زمین خواہ زمانہ مہمان اللہ 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 Now I want to translate this couplet for the viewers and listeners of Madinah channel. آسمان خواہ زمین خواہ زمانہ مہمان صاحب خانہ لقب ہے کس کا تیرا تیرا اللہ 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 Dear viewers and listeners of Madinah channel, beyond our imagination, beyond our thinking, this is subhanallah. Look at the ishq and the love of Ala Hazrat radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Kya baat hai? Yeh khwan actually means dastarkhan, meaning the tablecloth on which we sit to eat our food, subhanallah. So Ala Hazrat radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says that the asman is the tablecloth, the sky. The earth is also the cloth. And the zamana, meaning the people of this world, are the guests. Allah, 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 Allah. In other words, who is the host? The host is our beloved Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. This is his shan. And we are the mihman. Who is the mihman? The entire creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at how great is our beloved Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. That his mihman and his guest are the whole world. Lekin is dastarkhan pe koi kami nahi hai, subhanallah. Nothing is short. There is no shortage in this dastarkhan. Whoever is coming, whatever he's asking for, my aqa, my master, the coolness of our eyes, the contentment of our hearts and mind, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, is granting everybody, subhanallah. Hadith mein, in the hadith, our beloved Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam says a very beautiful hadith. Nabi Kareem sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam says, ki indeed Allah is the giver. Dene wala Allah hi hai. The one who gives is the zat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But I am the distributor, subhanallah. In other words, whatever you have, whatever wealth you possess, whatever you have, everything is given to you as a charity from Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. It is through the door of Aqa Kareem sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Ab zara dekhe na, if anybody asks for wealth, my Nabi, my Aqa made him ghani. Huh? My Aqa gave him everything he wanted, subhanallah. Are, what is wealth of this dunya? What is the luxuries of this world? Hazrat Rabi'a, very famous sahabi Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. My Aqa, my master sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam asked one day, because he was the khadim of the Holy Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Rabi'ah, ask for what you want. Allah, Allah, Allah. Now, this is authority. This is the authority, the power of our beloved Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, that, O Rabi'a, ask for whatever you wish to ask. He said, why must I ask for dunya? Huzur ke sadqe mein dunya to mil chuki hai. Dunya is ours, kyun hum huzur ke ghulam hain. We are the servants of the Holy Rasulullah. So he said, Ya Rasulullah, I want to be your companion. I want your qurb. I want your closeness in Jannah, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala sallam. Meaning, Hazrat Rabia radiyallahu ta'ala anhu knew ki huzur ke sadqe mein jannat to milegi, subhanallah. But Ya Rasulullah, I want to be with you in jannat as well, subhanallah. And what was the answer of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Oh Rabia, uske ilawa, aw ghayra dhalik, besides that, aur kuch mango, Allah, Allah, Allah. In other words, oh Rabia, you asking for jannat? Ja, I have given you jannat. If there's anything aside from that, if there's anything else you want to ask for, wo bhi mango, wo bhi de diya jayega, subhanallah. So this is the generosity, this is the kindness of my aqa, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, ki kitna bada dastarkhan hai. Asma kha, zami kha, zamana mehman, sahib khana laqab kiska hai? Tera, tera, subhanallah.
Asma kha, zami kha, zamana
Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. MashaAllah, Mawlana Tabriz, MashaAllah, from South Africa there. And Ahmed by the North Quran. And you know Mawlana Tabriz, MashaAllah, may Allah Azza wa Jalla reward him, may Allah Azza wa Jalla always keep him happy. He's one of those brothers that whenever I watch on Madani channel, he puts a smile on my face. And I hope that he puts a smile on your face as well. And they were talking there about Ala Hazrat. You know, where do I start? Where do I start talking about him? His love that he had for the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, anything that was attributed to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, be it the Sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, be it the city of Medina that is attributed to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, anything, be it the Ahle Bayt, anything that was attributed to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had a great love for and he had a great respect for. And he also views him in the channel today when we were talking about illnesses and putting our trust in Allah Azza wa Jalla. He had so much trust. He had such great trust in Allah Azza wa Jalla. There was an incident that happened, viewers of my channel, where Ala Hazrat, there was a plague, an illness developed in the city. An illness developed in the city, and what had happened was that Ala Hazrat, he had these symptoms, the same symptoms of the illness that everybody seemed to have. And when the doctors, they came to see him, they said to him that, Azul, you have this illness, we need to treat you. And he said, I do not have this illness. Listen to this, is his iman, viewers of my channel. This is the trust that he has in Allah Azza wa Jalla. This is his faith that he had in what the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. They said to him, but you've got these symptoms. He said, I do not have that illness. And his people said that they are the physicians, they are the doctors. Yeah, and you are saying you do not have this illness. He said, I'm telling you, I do not have this illness. And the reason why I do not have this illness, listen to this, viewers of my channel. He said, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that when you see someone who has a certain illness, recite this dua, and inshallah azza wa jalla, that illness will never afflict you. I recited that dua, and I have firm belief in what the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, I do not have that illness. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And then he heard a voice from the unseen, miswak and black salt. And he understood. And he got the miswak and he put black salt on the miswak and he cleaned his teeth with them. And all of them symptoms inside his mouth, because they were like ulcers that had developed inside his mouth, all of them instantly disappeared. And this is the iman that he had. This is the trust that he had in the sayings of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the trust that he had in Allah azza wa jal. And there is a beautiful example of viewers on the channel of what trust we need to develop. What trust we need to develop in Allah azza wa jal. That Allah azza wa jal is the cure of all illnesses. And if it is in your destiny not to be cured, then also that is the will of Allah Azza wa Jal. And if it is in your destiny not to be cured, then that again is better for you. And again, having this mindset of trusting in Allah Azza wa Jal, having that iman, how many of us recite the du'as? When we sit in our car, we recite the du'a, we still recite the du'as of Safar. We make all of these du'as when we're entering our house. We make all sorts of du'as. But do we really believe And again, viewers of my channel, a lot of us, it's become lip service, where we just say things because it's become a habit. But our iman needs to be there to firmly believe in this, that this illness, if I recite this dua, then this illness will not affect me. If I recite this dua, then inshallah Azza wa Jalla will be saved on this journey. And having that iman inside yourself. And another incident of Ala Hazrat, where he was traveling. At the time, they used to travel on ships when they used to go on the Hajj, and he was coming back from his Hajj, and a severe storm broke out. And the captain said, it got so bad that the captain said to the people on the ship, that if you have your coffins with you, wrap yourself in the coffins. Because I've never seen a storm like this. And I do not think we will survive this storm. I am fearful that the ship will sink in this storm. So if you want to be wrapped in your coffins, wrapped in them. And some people had brought back coffins from the Harman Sharif. They brought them back and maybe they'd dip them in Zamzam water. And so people started screaming and crying and pulling out the coffins. And Allah Hazrat is sitting there in the corner, doing his zikr, doing his ghurad, Allahu Akbar. And when they asked him, Hazur, everyone's jumping around, what about you? And he said, do not worry, nothing will happen. Do not worry, nothing will happen. And when he was asked why, look again at his iman, he said, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you make this dua and you go on a journey, then nothing will afflict you. I made that dua, nothing will afflict us. Allahu Akbar. That is the iman that he had. And a short period of time later, the storm abated and the ship continued to make the journey. Allahu Akbar. This is the iman that Ala Hazrat had. This is the trust in Allah Azza wa Jal that he had. And again, we can talk about that so much, but this is the personality that we are talking about. And so when you hear, you know, we hear, viewers of Mother Channel, Ala Hazrat. You know, we hear at the Jummah Khutbah, Ala Hazrat said this, Ala Hazrat did this. But do we know who he is? Do we know anything about his character? Do we know about his qualities? Do we know what his services to the deen were? Do we know about the sacrifices that he made? Viewers of Mother Channel, we need to acquire and get that knowledge so that we can improve ourselves as well. Viewers of Mother Channel, we're coming towards the end of the program and time once again is against us. We're talking about illness and we're talking about what happens when you get close to the death. Advising a young man, Sayyidina Mansur bin Amr, Rahmatullahi ta'ala, has stated that, O young man, may your youth not deceive you. There were many such men who delayed in repentance and had long hopes, kept on saying after forgetting death, we will repent tomorrow, we will repent the day after tomorrow, even to the extent that the angel of death came in the state of heedlessness and they have gone to their graves. Don't wait for tomorrow to repent. You do not know when the angel of death is going to come to you. You do not know what's going to happen to you. The angel of death could come to you right now. What guarantees have me and you got that we will see out this day? We have no guarantees. The angel of death could come to us today. And the agonies of death, viewers of the channel, they are really hard. The agonies of the pains of the death are severe. And it says that the one who passes away, he goes through a state of severe pain. And if a deceased person could come out of his grave and tell the people of this world the state of the pain of the death, the peace and comfort of this life would be destroyed. Mentioning the severities of the death, it is stated, for a believer, there is nothing more dreadful than death in this world and the hereafter, as its pain is severe than being cut open by saws, cut by scissors, and boiled in pots. If a deceased comes out of his grave and tells people about death, people could not obtain any benefit from life, nor could they sleep peacefully. So this pain of death, viewers of my channel, again, if we live a life of piety, then inshallah, azza wa jal, this pain of death, which we're all going to face, will inshallah, azza wa jal, be eased. So please, and then, viewers of my channel, if, for example, you are in a situation where the time of death is coming to someone and you are there, and it's clearly evident on the patient, then turn him towards his right side, yeah? And also turn his face towards the Qibla. Make his face face the Qibla if you feel that this person is close to death. And again, recite the Kalma there, recite the Kalma Shahada there, recite it there. Don't instruct the person to do it. Make sure about this. This is very important. That if a person you feel is close to death, then don't say to him, read Kalma Shahada, read this, don't. Because he's in a state of pain. And when you're in a state of pain, it's hard to even think properly. So recite Kalma near him in a nice voice. Write Kalma Shahada near him. Recite Surah Yasin near him. So hopefully he will listen, she will listen, and she will copy them words. And again, try and do this. And again, do that for them. Do not push them to do it. Recite Kalma, make sure you recite Kalma, recite Kalma. The angel of death has come to you. Again, comfort them. Comfort them. Stroke their forehead. Recite the Kalma nicely. And again, if, for example, at that moment in time of death, they do not recite the Kalma, then do not have, again, negative thoughts. Oh, they didn't recite the Kalma at time of death. That means they died with their iman. Astaghfirullah, that is not the case. That is not the case. Who are we to decide who has died and who has not died with iman? We cannot make that decision. But again, at that time, comfort the deceased, comfort the person as he is going on that journey that me and you and all of us are going to make. So viewers of Mani, inshallah, I hope today, I pray today that we have learnt a little bit about what we should be doing when we're visiting the sick, the intentions that we need to make when we visit the sick, the reward in visiting the sick, the reward in being patient when we are sick. And also we've learnt a little bit about that time where people, all of us have to face, when someone is facing death, when the angel of death is coming to them, what we should try and do to comfort them at that time. Viewers of Madri Channel, you've been watching Arise and Shine. Keep watching Madri Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun